to you, clap for Jesus. Put your hands together for the Almighty. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. Clap for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah.
Heaven and earth adore.
Even angels
bow before.
I say, what a mighty God.
What a mighty God. We serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God. We serve.
Hallelujah.
Heaven and earth adore.
Heaven.
Angels bow before.
I say,
what a mighty God.
Exodus 18, 10 to 11. Exodus 18, 10 to 11. And Jethro said, we all know who Jethro was. He was the father-in-law of Moses. You know, when he had the testimony of Moses, he said, blessed be the Lord who had delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh. Now, I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above them. Amen? When your enemy, you know, deals proudly with you, be sure, have that confidence. God is above him or her. Praise the Lord. And this is why some people only see power as a tool of oppression and intimidation. But I want to let you know this morning, God is the avenger of the oppressed. We are going to pray. Father, neutralize all sources of pride of my oppressors from this day. Every source of pride of my oppressor, neutralize it this morning. God, neutralize the source of pride of Pharaoh, the source of pride of Egyptians. God, deliver them. He was above them all. God, who did it for the Egyptians, is still alive. Neutralize, O Lord, the source of pride of my oppressors. Turn your table against them. Turn the table against them to my favor, Lord. To my favor. Let me triumph over them. The way Moses triumphed over Pharaoh, I will triumph over difficulties, over sorrow, over intimidations. I will triumph. I will triumph over sin in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning we heard who is a disciple. And we were made to know that every one of us that have confessed Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are disciples. But our flesh work against us. Our flesh do not allow us to know our worth in Christ. Father, Lord Almighty, turn the table against flesh in my life. Turn the table against flesh in my life. First Chronicles 16, 21 to 22. He suffered no man to do harm, to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. You are a disciple of God. You are his anointed. No one will do you harm. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, in the name that's above every other name, let your word come with power this morning. Amen. Let your word do something beautiful in my life. Amen. We worship you, O Lord. We sanctify. Come and sanctify us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Is there any spirit of distraction here in our midst this morning? Every spirit of sleeping. Oh Lord, every spirit that will not allow us to your word to do something in us, Jehovah El Shaddai, we rebuke that spirit now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word come with power. Let your word come with anointing. Let your word come with deliverance.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have your seat in the presence of God. Tell your neighbor, I am a chosen one. We are all chosen for salvation. Praise the Lord. So the short word I have for us this morning is chosen for salvation. Praise the Lord. And our text is taken from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, we read from verses 1 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1, we read from 1 to 14. Okay, are we there? Praise the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Amen? Great. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him. 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You are chosen for salvation. I don't know whether you remember the feeling of being chosen. Perhaps for a game. Okay? Or for an activity. Being picked up first made your day. Being picked up later at the end of the day might ruin it. I remember very well when I was in elementary school. Very rough. From a very poverty background. Only one uniform I wear for 1 week. Don't judge me. It's just the circumstances. Don't judge me. It's just the circumstances. One uniform. One short knicker. One shirt. For 1 week. Monday through Friday. We only wash it on Saturday. Then, if you have the opportunity of ironing it, we iron it on Sunday. And I remember, one Sunday, I was ironing my uniform. One of my stepmother came and rebuked me severely, because we used this charcoal iron. You want to burn this uniform? Who will buy another one for you? What is wrong with you? Why is it only you in this house? And she rebuked me severely, and I was very, as young as I was, maybe around the age of 7 or 6, between 6 and 7, because I was in elementary 2. I felt very bad. So don't judge me. So that day, they said, one head of state was coming. And in those days, when a visiting head of state is coming, they gathered us in school together. We go and line the street to welcome the head of state. So they have announced at the assembly the previous day that you should launder your uniform and iron it. And I did that very well that day. But that made me to wash my uniform, not
once a week this time around, twice. Because that day when I got home, I quickly put the uniform in the bucket, wash it, dry it, and then I brought it out. I iron it. So that morning, I was not involved in any hard play. I was well dressed, tucked in, and I was very careful until my usual friends came. And before you think of it, the guy was just running. He just ran into me, and all of us just fell. And that uniform, I look at it like this, I felt sorry for myself. I wept. So when we now got to the assembly, I tried to remove all the dirt, look neat. The teachers were going around to see who they are going to choose. When I got there, I drew like this. I was not chosen. The thing pained me. It was very painful. Then that was the first round. Second round, they came round again. I was again doing it, removing the dirt so that they can see, But I was not chosen. It was very painful. That was a great school experience for me. And it makes me uncomfortable. Made me very, very uncomfortable. When we look at that great school experience, it can make us feel uncomfortable when we talk about the idea of God choosing who will redeem, who he will redeem. Bible scholars call this doctrine a doctrine of election. And if you look at it, beginning from the Old Testament, Scripture clearly teaches God's sovereignty in this decision. Yet, there is no first or last with him. All whom God chooses, he chose them in Christ and eternity past. God the Father chooses Jesus. If you look at Luke 23 verse 35. God chose Christ from eternity. And the people should behold him. And the rulers also with them decided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. God has chosen him long time ago. If you look at 1 Peter 2, 4, see, you will also find it there. And after God chose him, he selected us. In Christ before the foundation of the world. That passage that we read, chapter 4, and verse 4, you see there. Let's look at, again, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Praise the Lord. From the foundation of the world, God has chosen you. You are chosen for salvation. It is not by your good works. It is not because your parents are Christians. It is not because you are born into a Christian home. No. And why did he choose us? We don't know. It is God's sovereignty. God chose the judge Samson and the prophet Jeremiah before either of them was formed in their mother's womb. Read Judges 13:5 or Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5 is very clear. It said, before you are formed in your mother's womb, I did what? I chose you. I anointed thee as a prophet unto nations. And the apostle Paul knew he had been chosen through God's grace. Galatians 1:15. When we talk about people that are not supposed to preach the gospel, Apostle Paul was a qualified one. He's not supposed to, but God chose him. How? We don't know. That was God's sovereignty. Praise the Lord. So some might think that since God knew this man who played future roles in his plan, he selected them because he knew what they would become. I don't know. That's just my own theory. Now, God's choice of Israel as a nation shows the flaw in that view and illustrates how God chooses us for salvation. When you look at this, if you place our idea, our theory, on that God knew them,
God knows that they will perform well. That is what he has chosen them. Then Israel shouldn't have been chosen at all. That's what I'm trying to say. Moses reminded the people in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you are the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he will keep the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. So why did God choose Israel? It's just because of his love and his grace. Brethren, God has chosen you to be alive today. It's not because of your power. It's not because you are more beautiful than your neighbor. It's not because you are born in a Christian home. It's just because of his love. May that love never expire upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. May that love never expire upon our children, upon our neighbors, upon our fathers and our brethren in the mighty name of Jesus. May that love never expire upon our spouses in the mighty name of Jesus. God based his choice of Israel on two realities. His love, number one, and promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Indeed, God chose Abraham. He wasn't a Jew by that time. He was a Mesopotamian. For reasons not apparent to Abraham himself. God chose Isaac when his parents, Abraham and Sarah, thought they were too old. Or, too old to even have a child. And the Lord chose Jacob over his twin brother Esau without any explanation. We can't explain it. Just as nothing special in Israel made it God's choice, the people were more or less a destitute, loss of slave, languishing in Egypt. So nothing remarkable in us causes God to choose you and I. Nothing. We were completely dead spiritually. Yet God selected us anyway in Christ. Being chosen gives us no cause for boasting, brethren. Except boasting in who? In God. God bless me. Amen. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in beloved Christ. Look at that passage that again. Ephesians 1 verse 6. Ephesians 1 verse 6. Let's look at it again. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He just chose us, just at his pleasure, for his grace. Amen. So the question is, why did God select us? So what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That emphasis is mine. That is, as far as Paul goes in explaining why God decided to reconcile anyone to himself. But in Ephesians 1, Paul does provide a remarkable list of blessings that accrue to those chosen by God. Number one, we are adopted into God's family and made brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 5. Look at Romans 8, 29 as well. Romans 8, 29. Give us Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow. He did what? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? Firstborn among many brethren. So we are brothers and sisters with our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So God chose us at his will. That's what I'm trying to say. Just not because we are good, not because we are more beautiful than others, but simply because he loves us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are trying to look at the advantages we have over others. When we are chosen or we are elected as his children, we are adopted into God's family. That's number one. Number two, we are accepted by God in Christ. Ephesians 1:6. We are accepted by God himself through Jesus Christ our God. Praise the Lord. And that is why when we commit sin, we come to the throne of grace. We ask God sincerely, Father, this is what I have done. And we repent of those sins. God accept us. God will accept you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Number three, God redeemed us from our slavery to sin. Ephesians 1:7. And when you look at Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, you will see there too. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And he made, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. Can you imagine? But yet, God redeemed us from those things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He redeemed us from our slavery to sin. Number four now. He enlightened. We become enlightened concerning the mysteries of God. Can you imagine? There are so many mysteries about God that we cannot explain. But as children of God, when we are elected, we become born again. We are what? We become enlightened. I pray that our eyes of enlightenment will never be blinded in the mighty name of Jesus. Say a better amen. Amen. There are so many things our understanding become clear about. Things we were doing before we think we are doing right. No, you have a better understanding. Like the common saying that says the voice of the people is the voice of God. It's a lie. People can be saying, right on, right on, right on. And God says no. Remember what happened to that king? Is it King Herod? I remember. And he was very good, you know, powerful with his words. You know, he has that oratory power. And after he rendered it, people shouted, that is the voice of God. Is that not what the people said? What happened to him later? So those are the things. Our eyes become enlightened when we become a child of God. The word of God comes anew into us. Praise the Lord. Number five now. Am I number five or six? Five. We are also given an eternal inheritance. Praise the Lord. Eternal inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11. Can you technically please help us? You know, also we have obtained an what? Inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So, you don't have to worry about what is going on around you. Because there's what? Eternal, an inheritance that cannot perish. An inheritance that lasts forever. Praise the Lord. Number six, we are sealed by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Sealed by what? The gift of Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is why it is very difficult for a child of God to lose his salvation, like we were saying last Sunday. A true child of God will recognize when sin comes into his life. A true child of God will not rejoice in evil. A true child of God will love. According to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. A true child of God. Somebody asked a question. I was listening to a radio sermon. And the man said, and the question came, what can I do when I have the spirit of racism? Racism. And the man of God went all in all, using 1 Corinthians 13, to exalt that question. When you go through 1 Corinthians 13, and you pray that God should allow such things, to abide in you, you won't discriminate against anybody. There will be no racism in you. Praise the Lord. So we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And finally, we are made secure in our eternal relationship to God. Verse 14. Ephesians 1, 14. 14, please. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until redemption of our possession unto the praise of his glory. God's grace made us to be accepted. He made us to be a chosen one in Christ. And he made us secure in our eternal relationship. In Ephesians 1, Paul does not address the question of those not chosen. But if you look at Romans 9, he appears to call the very question inappropriate. If you go back, I want us to read Romans chapter 9. You will see there. If we judge God for not choosing all, we miss the mercy displayed in his choice of anyone. Hello? If you say, God, why did you not choose so and so? We are missing that mercy that is displayed in his choice of any. Christ himself said in Matthew 22:14, said, many are what? Called. But few are? Matthew 22:14. That's what Christ himself said. So all who respond in faith to the call of God are like the saints in Ephesus, chosen by God in the beloved. Tell your neighbor, I am a chosen one. I have been chosen for salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I will not lose my salvation. In the name of Jesus, I will not lose my salvation. Let's be on our feet this morning. Let's be on our feet. I will not lose my salvation. This morning we had at the workers' meeting, we are all disciples of Christ. But at times, we find ourselves in doubt. Am I really making it? Am I really walking by the way? Are you sure Christ is the only way? Father, the grace never to doubt you. Let it come upon me now. Go ahead and talk to God. That grace, oh Lord, never to doubt you. To know that you are God. That you can subdue the pride of my oppressors. I receive this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Enlighten me concerning your mysteries. Give me an eternal inheritance. Seal me by the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Secure me in your eternal relationship. In the mighty name of Jesus. Secure me, Lord. Father, secure me. When you look at what is going on around you, Christians are becoming insecure. But the word of God is telling you this morning that you can be secured in that relationship. Only believe in him. We heard this morning how in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, Jesus went on top of the mountain. Only his disciples followed him. In chapter 8, verse 1, when he came down to the mountain, the multitude were there to follow him. Are you a disciple of Christ? Have you been chosen for his salvation? Your coming to his presence this morning is not by accident, brethren. It is not by accident. God chose you to be here. Will you accept him? Will you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior? Will you postpone the day? Brethren, it is very dangerous. It could be very dangerous to postpone it. Are you here this morning? You want to renew your life in him. You want to renew your faithfulness in him. Brethren, cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Say, Father, accept me. Lord, accept me. Accept me, Lord. I give you my life. I surrender all. Surrender everything to him sincerely this morning. Surrender everything to him. Tell him you surrender all. Coming here this morning is not by accident, brethren. God has brought you for a purpose. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Surrender it all to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Ask God to use you this morning. Ask God to use him. Let my eternal inheritance be permanent. Ah, let it be eternal indeed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, do not depart from me. Holy Spirit, do not depart from me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Deuteronomy 33, 24 to 25, in closing. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Amen. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so thy strength be. Asher found fivefold blessings, which included biological, material, divine protection, physical health, and longevity. We are going to pray. Father, bless me with your favor. As you have secured me, and you have chosen me for salvation. Bless me with your favor. Bless me with surplus. Give me sound, all-round sound health, strength, longevity, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because I'm in your presence this morning. Lord, bless me. Let the blessing of the Lord that make her rich and add no sorrow unto it be my portion this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, I want you to ask something from the Lord this morning. Ask for something. What do you want God to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? Ask for it this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for your assurance of salvation. You have also chosen us by yourself from time immemorial. Therefore, Lord, we shall not lose our salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That eternal inheritance shall be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That blessing that you gave to Asher, Lord Almighty, because he was chosen. Lord Almighty, let that blessing be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Your word that we hear day in, day out, will never rise against us on the last day in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.